Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
God bless you, dear Blood River Radio audience. And listen, people, we have a great young lady running the boards tonight. Her name is Miss Liz. If she's not the youngest of Jay's children, she's got to be getting pretty close to being young. I don't even think she's 16 years old tonight, but we need to salute her. She's doing a fabulous job. She really is. I'm afraid if Cam doesn't come back quick, he done lost his job, because I'm afraid Liz is going to put him in the shade. But anyway, listen, I'll go back and try to recap this. The guy, you know, Amschau Rothschild, the old man of the Rothschilds, he once made this statement. This is just kind of an aside to get us going, what we're going to go back to with the Federal Reserve Banks. He once said, if you give me the power to coin money, to print money and to loan money, he said, and I care not who the president is. I care not who the kings are. I care not about who the senators, the bankers, the judges are. He said, just let me coin the money. Give me control of the banks. Well, that's what happened. You know, just a quick aside, after the War of Waterloo, you know, after the British thought that they had lost, and Amschau Rothschild tricked them into thinking that, he bought the whole Bank of England. Then he put each of his sons in the banks of Europe. They control Amschau's children. His sons control. One of them had the Bank of England. One had the Bank of France, Portugal. One the Bank of Germany, so on and so forth. They control the money. Oh, now when you come to this country here, back in 19, I got to make this quick. In 1913, right prior to 1913, when they had their big meeting, all the international bankers here in America had their meeting down at Jekyll Island, Georgia, when they put together the Federal Reserve. Prior to the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, the Congress of the United States had the responsibility, as dictated by the Constitution of the United States, to coin money and regulate the value thereof. The value was based on silver at that time, not gold. So many grains of silver, about 24 grains of silver, and that's what it was. Well, see, the international bankers, they don't like solid money. You know why? Because they can't print silver. They can't print gold. But they can print paper. They can take their stinking pens and their paper, and they can write any amount of money on a piece of paper they want to. You know, and so that's what happened. In 1913, our Congress, there's still a lot of controversy about that. Our Congress, the United States, while they were on Christmas break, they sold out, and they turned the responsibility of coining money and regulating the value thereof over to the Jewish bankers. That's where we got the so-called Federal Reserve. And as Miss Nancy correctly pointed out, the Federal Reserve is not a part of the federal government. I know a lot of you people know this is Ned the First Reader to you, but some people don't. And it has to go with this tape that Father Coughlin got through talking about. Okay. They kind of lost my thought. But they, being the Congress, abdicated their responsibility to print money and to print the currency. You know, it's at that time, every dollar issued by the United States government prior to 1913 had to be backed by X of grains of silver. That's what that helped keep inflation under control. They couldn't just print endless dollars backed by nothing. But after 1913, they went into what they gave the Jew bankers this thing called fractional reserve. They only had to have a fraction of the silver in the bank that they used to have at one time. Now they don't have to have any. So, and here's the key point. These Jews, in order to make more money, war even is more profitable than prostitution. They create these wars and they loan all this money. The money they never have. This is what you got to get in your brain. The money has never existed. And I got to shut the hell up, make this quick. For instance, let's just say Sister Monica goes in to buy her a new car and she doesn't have the money. She goes into her local bank And she says, hey, I'd like to have a car, but I need the money. I don't have no money. And they said, well, that's great. We'll loan you the money. And say she has $10,000 down, but she needs, say, $60,000. They loan her $40,000. That $40,000 never exists until she goes and borrows that money. Once they go loan her that so-called money, all it is it's a couple of electrical transmissions, a few keys on a keyboard like I got right here, and bingo, that money is created out of thin air, backed by nothing. Well, that's the same thing these Jew bankers did, loaning all this money out all over the world, and then guess what? Like he pointed out, I'm bringing this to an end, like Father Coughlin so rightfully pointed out, once the Jew bankers loaned all this money to England and France because they thought it was a slam dunk they were going to beat poor Germans, but it didn't. It backfired on them. Germany was kicking the hell out of them, and Germany was right on the – in fact, England was getting ready to talk peace. Russia had already folded, had already collapsed. You know, so they sent the United States troops over there to go over there and fight for mom and apple pie and Goldman Sachs. I don't mean Goldman Sachs. They went over there and fight for mom and apple pie and save the world for democracy. No, they were saving the damn Jew bankers because they had loaned all this money out and they knew we weren't going to get it. And Father Cochran so widely pointed that out. And it's been repeated over and over and over and over every damn war we've ever had for years. And listen, you got to get this. These things will never turn around in this country until we can take the power of the money back from these Jew bankers and return that responsibility back to the Congress. Really, and better, it'd be better if it was returned back to the state and each state had its own damn bank so we could police it more. But that's pretty much in a nutshell. And, you know, every stinking war that we've had has been repeated with the same reason. That or over dopes like in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Now, Sister Nancy, would you like to come in and do some comments on that?
Well, that's very educational, Eddie. I think you made it quite clear. I've read about the Federal Reserve many, many times, but I don't think I'd be able to explain it. I did know that it's, unfortunately, we're living in a time warp in which our money is backed by absolutely nothing. I remember FDR when my parents were living in Washington, D.C., he forced all of the citizens of the U.S. to turn in all their gold, coins. That was one of the things he did back in the
40s. Yes.
And
guess what? Guess what happened after they did that, Sister Nancy? And after they forced them to turn in the gold, they turned in the gold, and the gold by that time was priced at about $35 to an ounce. But guess what? After they turned the gold in, after the good people turned their gold in, and they issued a paper certificates to back, you know, to the people for turning in the gold, well, immediately the gold went in price up from $40 an ounce to $60. So the people automatically lost that much money. They all automatically lost about 40% of their money. But continue on.
You know, I'm in Kentucky, where the Fort Knox supposedly has the gold. They've got it barricaded, and they've got wires up and fences. And I look at the where the gold is supposed to be stashed, and I think it's a joke. I think that there was some kind of regulations after World War II, in which payments were made back to France in gold, and I'm not sure how this worked out, but anything that was owed to France, they wanted it paid back in gold, which makes sense. And so this crazy country would probably got rid of most of their gold, and I think Russia maybe they were forcing payments back in gold too. It's highly unlikely that we have much gold left at Fort Knox, in my opinion. And
we have none.
Probably zero, yeah.
You know, what a quick aside, Sister Nancy, I'll try to shut up.
The comparison with listening to an eloquent, glorious speaker like Father Coughlin.
Yes.
Listening to the dead brain people like Biden. I mean, we have lost a lot just in intellect in the last 40 years or 50 years. I mean, Coughlin was just rolling off.
Yes.
A absolute orator. I mean, a beautiful speaker. I mean, I can't choose. There would be nobody today who would, maybe Putin. Maybe Putin could speak that well.
Yeah, there you go.
But
Well, you know, you're right. And Nixon shut the gold window forever after because the Vietnam War broke us. And, you know, in fact, the president, I forget his name, he was the head honcho of France. I used to know it. He was De Gaulle. He sent a battleship over here to get their gold, and you're right. And I'm going to shut up into this. The story goes that General Eisenhower, who became president, the good communist he was, he took a tour to Fort Knox, very close to your place, and he said he wanted to see the gold. And they said, well, General, there is no gold. He said, well, double the guard.
You
don't want anybody to know that. I'm shutting. I'm shutting the hell up. I've been.
Yes. Oh, that's okay.
Yes.
No, I really. That's about all I can say. I think, you know, I just think Father Coughlin's speech was just. You know, I want to go back and listen to other ones now. The one that I found was actually produced by some kind of Jewish Holocaust group. Of course, they don't think too much of Father Coughlin, and boy, he was a powerhouse.
Hell no.
The communist. He was really speaking out about the
communist, yes.
And just a firebrand. He was on his hour of power, the hour of power.
Yes, he named the Jew. By 1939, 40, the FBI and the powers that be and FDR, they put pressure on the Catholic Church to reel him in. They may most certainly, but he started naming them by name. He really did. Well, before we come back, we need to get Sister Monica in here. She's been out there in the bushes, up there freezing her tail off up there in Canada. We got to bring her back in. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
God bless you, people. We were going to have like a hybrid Christmas show, but people, I think we're running out of time. We might say Merry Christmas something at the end, but you know what? I just can't put my sword down, but I got news for you. Our bankers, our international Jews, the sons of their father, the devil, as Jesus Christ told them in St. John 8:44, they never put their swords down. They never sleep. They plot day and night to kill us, and they're almost there now. But people, I'm just going to say, we have this article called The Great Reset. What is it? In this the Barnes Review, it was November, December 2022. And people, this Great Reset, if you fast forward to what Father Coughlin was talking about in the 20s, in the late 20s, all through the 30s, in 1942, when the FBI came in and with the powers that be and the FDR, they come in and shut him down. They put pressure on the Catholic Church to shut him down. But this Great Reset thing, maybe we can get Sister Monica to come in and talk about that some. And I know Sister Nancy has read some of it. But it is an extenuation. It's like if you fast forward from 1940 to now, it's the same thing going on, only it's worse. They want to get all of our property. I mean, go ahead. Say hello to the audience, Sister Monica. You've been out there hiding. Tell them how cold it is up there where you are, and go ahead and do what you want to do in this Great Reset, or whatever you want to do.
I'm going to speak very slowly because my jaw is frozen. We've got minus 40. Well, actually, it was minus 37 and a half here, but the town next to us, they broke a record and got minus 40. So, yeah, it's pretty cold. And, you know, that's irrelevant whether it's Fahrenheit or Celsius at that temperature, because we meet at minus 40. So, anyway, this is the great global warming they told us about. Another big
yes.
hoax, actually. Well, anyway, that aside, this has been so instructional. This has been so informative. And I hadn't known about Father Coughlin, I think that's how you pronounce his name. Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And like Nancy, I think I will seek out more of his talks. Like, what an orator, and with his wisdom and, you know, speaking truth about what was really going on. It really, really fantastic. So that's great that you brought that talk on this show. I think everybody needs to know about the money system, what it is, what it's about. And you were talking about the Great Reset. You know, they say this nice little thing with a big smile, by 2030, you will own nothing and you will be happy. And who will own it then? If we, the people, the mere, you know, mortals here, if we own nothing, who controls it? Who owns it? That it's that very, very small group of people. And ultimately, it's the bankers. And who are the bankers? You know, you named the Rothschild banking family. And there's probably, 200 families or so. I mean, they're all Jewish. They just happen to be Jewish. And they own everything. They own the banks. They own the money. And like you said, Eddie, that quote by the patriarch of the Rothschilds there, I care not who is running making the laws as long as I control the money. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works. And everybody always knows that saying that, you know, it's the bankers fund both sides of the wars. Well, let's just, again, refresh our memory. Who are the bankers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were talking about the Federal Reserve, and probably most of the audience are American. And so the Federal Reserve got put into place, I think, just a few days before Christmas in 1913, wasn't it? And it was this time of year, was it not?
Correct.
Because, yeah, so that way Correct. People wouldn't notice. People are with their families and celebrating and not thinking too much about what they listen to in the news. You know, in Canada, we have the Bank of Canada, and up until, I think it was 1974, I know it was in the 1970s, that our government stopped using the Bank of Canada. And the Bank of Canada did issue interest-free loans for making, you know, financing our highways and our utilities and whatnot. This was a good thing. So we did have control of our money system here in Canada until very recently, actually. I mean, that's relatively recently, in the 1970s. And like I say, I believe it was 1974. I'd have to look that up to verify. And to the best of my understanding, that bank still exists, but it is not being used. We could, if we had a prime minister that's not, you know, the son of a communist, and whoever he is the son of, whether it's Pierre Elliott Trudeau or whether it's Fidel Castro, both of them are communists. Yeah. So this is, we are fully down the road of communism here, but if we had a real prime minister who was actually looking out for the interests of our people, then we could just reinstate the use of the Bank of Canada and once again have control of our money system. So, yeah, I'll pass it back to you, Eddie, or to Nancy to comment on some of those things.
Well, I have a, I'm going to
You made a great point.
As a dummy, I'm going to pitch out something that we know that the main crux of the complaint historically, going back to probably the time of Christ, is that the Christians were very much opposed to the Jews due to their lending money at usury, which would be a percentage on top of the loan that has to be repaid. Well, I think the issue we have to think about is, and somebody had brought this up, was not new. Of course, it's not a new theory. Okay, if somebody lends you, you're desperate. You get a loan, whatever it might be, $100. But you have to pay back more than $100. Where does that additional money come from? In other words, they're again created out of air. It's additional money that you were not lent that money, but you, as the borrower, is going to find that additional money to repay to the Jewish lender. It's all out of air. Anyway, it's not real. It's not backed
correct
by anything. But I think this has certainly been the main crux of opposition, that historically Christians have been opposed to usury. So in other words, if a Christian would lend to someone else, they would not have a percentage added on. They would say, here's 100, pay me back 100. That didn't work in the financial mind of the Jew. It was always based on additional money being paid back, and that's how they survived or how they made their money. But it's anyway. That's you. Go ahead.
Yeah. When I was a child, actually, still, or maybe a teenager, I don't know. I remember really being puzzled about how interest can work. How can it work? Because I was actually just with logic, I couldn't figure it out. Because of course I didn't realize how this interest means you're just making money out of nothing. It doesn't exist, right? Because I still thought, well, it exists. And so how can there always be interest? That where is it? Where is it coming from? So I guess those were early, you know, I was asleep at the wheel until I was in my early 50s to mid 50s. But even way back when, I just couldn't figure it out for the life of me how that worked, because I was basing that on logic, and there is no logic to it. It is just actually pure evil. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with.
Theoretically,
go ahead,
that
Eddie,
interest
you were
can never
something
be. Although I was just going to say, you both, you two raised a great point. See, at one time before we went over to the Federal Reserve System in 1913, we could get, people could get interest free money. Even Lincoln himself, the sorry evil guy he was. I mean, he's talking about a demon. Even Lincoln said that money should be a tool. Should benefit Americans, should benefit mankind. It shouldn't be used to put them in, to make bondsmen out, to make slaves out of them. But it's exactly what the bankers did. You know, they were trying to, and I'm going back memory now, like, and Mr. Shenancy's probably heard about this, during the war, Lincoln's war against the South. See, they ran out of money. And so the Jew banker said, oh, well, we'll gladly, we'll loan you all the money you need. But they were going to charge something like 50% interest, which is one definition of usury, is charging an excess or illegal interest rate. I hear we're going to a break. People, hold on. We'll go after this quick break. We'll go right back to our topic. We'll tie it in with this, the Great Reset. Be right back. We'll be right back.
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Rich Johnson. The advice comes from Colorado, but it applies to all of us, all across the USA.
Stay home if you're able, but if you need to get out, give yourself plenty of time, and then it's always good to know before you go.
Colorado Department of Transportation spokesman Bob Wilson also says drive prepared with food, water, blankets, and other items you'd need if you get stuck. Stuck like the people trying to drive east on Interstate 70 in the mountains west of Denver. Wilson says the freeway is closed thanks to several semis that tipped over.
We have heavy tows that will be attending to some of the semis that are in that location. Once they're able to get those trucks out of the way, then they'll go in there and plow and treat the roadway as best they can and get it reopened.
So-called once-in-a-generation storms moving east and north blasting Chicago at this hour. It is affecting north and south in very different ways, according to National Weather Service meteorologist Greg Carbon.
The snow and wintry weather conditions are going to be confined primarily in the Midwest, eventually moving into the Northeast. South of the Ohio River and across the Deep South, it's really just the cold and the wind that will be a problem.
The FlightAware misery map shows more than 1,700 canceled and more than 3,100 delayed flights so far today across the USA. In Washington, the Senate's holding a series of votes on amendments to the federal spending bill, and once the Senate approves the $1.7 trillion package, the House must vote. Speaker Nancy Pelosi says that would happen tonight. Another sign of a tight labor market, the Labor Department says the number of us filing new claims for unemployment benefits increased by less than expected last week. Here's another lottery dream to keep you warm. Tomorrow's Mega Millions jackpot now tops $500 million. That, of course, is the annuity amount. If you want all the cash right now, you'll have to settle for a mere $270 million. This is USA News.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Subscription required.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 90% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to 4hymns.com/joy. At Hymns, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the biggest brands at 90% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but 90% cheaper. It's the same medication you get from your doctor, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hymns.com/joy. That's 4hymns.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Our dear Blood River Radio family, we're skipping right on. We're trying to cram a lot. We got a long ways to go, a short time to get there. We're talking about this great reset. We got to bring Miss Monica in again. And after we talk about this great reset, we're going to try to go to these wonderful log cabin Republicans and their good old boy, President Donald Trump, that good conservative. But anyway, this article we talked about, y'all, if you can go look, get it in the Barnes Review, November, December 2022, it's on page 31, The Great Reset, what is it? And just for your own knowledge, some of the people of The Great Reset that are behind some of the most powerful people who have been referenced in it, says left to right include billionaire banker Klaus Schwab, good Jew, a pamper billionaire King Charles III of England, United Nations General Secretary Antonio Guterres is the former Socialist Prime Minister of Portugal. The multimillionaire, this is up to Miss Monica's way, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Multimillionaire, good communist boy that loves the poor folks. And then also multimillionaire Gina Gopinath, it looks like, Gopinath, Deputy Manager of the IMF. These are multi-billionaires, the cheapest ones, the poorest ones are multimillionaires, and they have multi-billionaires. They say that you make too much money. This, I'm going to go through this real quickly. It says these people, they're all in the WEF, the World Economic Forum. It says that the idea, here's one of the things they want to do. The idea of debt forgiveness. They want to forgive your debt. It's an important part of the agenda. But here's the goal. Here's the catcher. Here's the fish hook in the bait. The goal is to write off private debt in exchange for taking the equity. Oh, the equity. So, the equity, if I remember right, you know, when you own property and you haven't paid for it, your equity is the amount of money that you could say for instance, you got a house, you borrowed money on it, say 12 years ago, and you've paid, you got it half paid off. Well, you got half of the value of that house, you've got it in equity. If you could sell that, if you had to sell that house for say $100, you'd have to pay the bankers back $50. You could keep 50. That was your equity. That's a simple way to look at it. But here's the thing. That's when they say the Great Reset, all these people like Carl Schwab, they said you will own nothing, but you'll be happy. They're going to fix it when they start printing their digital money. They're going to fix it. This is an oversimplified solution to try to get all this crap crammed in just a few minutes. They're going to try to get you fixed up in debt and take over your debt. But when they pay your debt off, they're going to take your property. So in the end game is, You won't own a car. You won't own a house. You won't even own your cooking utensils. They will own everything, and they'll rent it to you. And guess what, folks? If you're not a good little boy and girl, they control the digital money. You've heard what they talk about the China way. They will cut your little chip in your brain or your head or your little card, whatever it is, and they'll cut you off. You won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. And that's part of their scheme, y'all, had to do with this manufactured lockdown and this man-made virus that came out. It was a virus manufactured lab in China. They turned that loose. They locked everybody down, which was totally unnecessary. They wanted to bankrupt all the small businesses that they could, the mom and pop businesses. They said that, and they decided, I know you people remember this, they decided which businesses were vital and which weren't vital. The Walmart was vital, the liquor stores were vital, but mom and pop's little store was not vital, the churches weren't vital, the schools weren't vital. You had to stay the hell in your house and shut up and don't say a word. Anyway, I know I tried to get one of the big things is they want to get the currency total digitized, where there's no dollar bills, no coins, nothing. Back to you, Miss Monica.
Basically, in a nutshell, that's called a slave, what you just described. If correct. You are dispossessed of all property and somebody else has the control of that, they give us these nice euphemisms and they package it up really nicely, and they... Remember that smiling, handsome man that they put out on the WEF website when they said, you will own nothing and you will be happy. And it was just this radiant, happy smile. Yeah. And, you know, in this article, they talked about this universal basic income. This brings me back to my days, when I was very misguided still in the Green Party. And we really advocated for this universal basic income. But the way they packaged it was that, look, we've got these other things, like we've got the welfare, we've got the, you know, child support payments, or we've got the this, we've got the that already in place. So let's just simplify it. We're going to save a lot of money by just streamlining all these different programs that people get money from, unemployment insurance, this and that. Like, they named a whole bunch of different ways that people get money from the government and said, let's just have one and call it the universal basic income. And it'll just mean that everybody has sort of a minimal level of money. And I mean, this was pure communism. I just didn't really understand any of this at the time because I was still really asleep. I had my head in the sand. I didn't understand what was going on until I started to wake up. And you know, that was only about 11 or 12 years ago that I started to wake up about stuff, when I figured out that they lied to us about 9/11. And then it went on from there, right? But they put the nice packaging on. They put the big smile on that handsome man's face when they, you know, you will be happy, you will own nothing. But really, it's slavery. What else would you call it? Mm-hmm. I'll just put that out there. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, somebody. Step in.
Go ahead, Miss Nancy. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I would agree with you, Monica, that that's what it would be if we have
Nothing. What are we going to be looking forward to? I mean, just another handout from the government? What is the goal once we are being taken care of and own nothing? It sounds very depressing.
Do you have the, for instance, the initiative to build and beautify your home and garden if you actually don't own anything? And I mean, we have created and built, we are very creative people. We make beautiful homes. We do things so that we take pride in these things. Now, how much of that is left after we are all supposed to be the same? And you know, some of the things you were describing, Eddie, which leads to their social credit score or something. I mean, if you've had your two cheeseburgers or whatever, that's it, you get turned off. But that would also, it would also apply to, you can't really invest into your home because, oh no, that's too much luxury or whatever. Like we have to all, oh, here's the other thing that they're going to throw into the mix is this climate change boogeyman. And so, oh, you're consuming too much. You can't do that. This is going to be the big hammer that they come down on us with, that we have to really reduce our carbon footprint. And all of this is absolutely bogus lies. And it took me longer to figure out that lie than the most taboo subject of all, the hollow hoax. It took me longer to figure out the climate change lie, because I was so in the Green Party. And I was so misguided about what the Green Party stands for, what it's about. I really didn't know that it is actually the Watermelon Party, which is, you know, green on the outside, red on the inside, and it's communism through and through. Mm-hmm. But again, yes, everything is inverted. Everything is inverted. So that which I thought was the best is actually the worst.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Back to you.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, and they get the by they being the so-called elite who are much better than us. You know, by the way, as another aside, this Klaus Schwab, I believe he's the one that says, Z will be eating bugs and Z will like it. He said, you'll be eating bugs and you'll like it. That's what they've got in mind for us. But yes, you know, and this is another aside. I remember several years ago, before they shut this place down, I used to hang out at a coffee shop called, it wasn't Ugly Mug. It was Muddy's. They had great pies and stuff there. To one of the few places in Memphis that had actually made fruit pies. But this lady in there, get this. I'm not. I kid you not. She was like in medical school. She was like a resident in medical school. She was getting ready to go in. She asked me what I was doing. Most of the people at part of town knew me. I said, well, I've got my burlap bag here, my tote sack, and I'm out here. I'm picking up carbon footprints, and I'm gonna pick these carbon footprints up. And I'm going to take them to Al Gore. In fact, I didn't say Al Gore. He's the one, really, really hawking these footprints. I said, I'm going to take them to Al Gore, and I sell them in a premium. He gives me top dollar for these carbon footprints. And she looked at me like I was some kind of an idiot. And I started explaining to her, and keep in mind now, this is a woman who's supposed to be a resident in the training in a University of Tennessee School of Medicine here in Memphis. She started going along, we need to do something about this carbon. We get too much carbon and all this stuff. And I said, well, there's the music, y'all. I'll finish this little aside when we come back. And I guess we ought to hear when we come back about our good old Republican, a good conservative Trump. Man, what a stalwart character he is. Anyway, we'll hear him along with his homosexual friend as soon as we come back with this break, y'all.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Dear Blood River Radio audience, I guess we just ran out of time. Maybe we can do our Christmas show New Year's Eve, maybe. We'll get that in there. I promise you we'll try. I'm not going to promise you we'll do it. I promise you we'll sure try. Anyway, we're just telling our people, y'all, you need to know this. Human beings breathe out carbon dioxide. The plants, trees, oak trees that produce acorns, trees that produce pecans, soybeans, cauliflower, cucumbers, all these things, all these vegans, these worship these plants, they worship animals. But they have to have carbon. The vegetable matter, the reeds, the wheat, the trees we just mentioned, these plants, they breathe in, their respiration, they breathe in carbon dioxide. They have to have it or they'll die. The higher the carbon dioxide level in the atmosphere, the more growth you have, green growth, green plants. Humans breathe out carbon dioxide. Well, plants, they produce oxygen. They take in carbon dioxide and they give off oxygen. So it's what you call a symbiotic relationship. So, but try explaining that to one of these PhDs down here in Midtown, one of these dental students, one of these airhead cucks. It's like trying to explain. Pythagorean's theorem to some Congo.
But, you know, Eddie, isn't it just the perfect creation that God created was this, you know, the plants and the animals working to give each other what they need. I mean, this is really the beautiful creation. And what these...
It's proof.
The eternal poisoners of the wells wish to do is kill life as we know it. They are killing life by wanting to decrease the substance of life. Carbon dioxide. What do greenhouse operators do in their greenhouses? They actually pump more carbon dioxide into those greenhouses so that they get a better crop. And here we are calling it poison. And
that's a conspiracy theory, Monica. Monica, you're a conspiracy theorist. But plants, these cow farms are killing them, man. We got to get rid of these cows.
I would love to spend Christmas dinner with all of you folks, and we would have a good time, I think.
Yes, we will.
Talking about the farts and all that.
Well, yeah, we could, like we said before the break, we could just put pipes in these cows' butts. It could gather up the cow farts and put it in these tanks like propane. We could have everything. We could have our cake and eat too. We could have our milk and our beef, and we take the methane gas out of the cows' butts, and we could run our heaters and stuff like that. But y'all, I guess we ought to, if we have time, what do y'all think about going to, I got this thing, it says, get this, I know this is going to just kill these good Southern Baptists that still worship Donald Trump. This article comes off the Fulcrum, it's out there, probably 100 different sites have got it. It says, Your Spiritual Pivot Point, and I'm going to just get this title, and Sister Nancy, I think you know about it, and Miss Monica, you might know about it too. Here's the thing, Trump host gay Republicans at Mar-a-Lago. This was December the 19th, 2022, by David Reed. According to an article in Politico last Thursday night, hundreds of guests in tuxedos of all styles in colorful gowns sipped Trump brand champagne and martinis between courses of steak and bite-sized key lime pie. The guests danced to YMCA and Macho Man. I used to like that song before I found out a bunch of faggots did it. It goes, YMCA, oh yeah, YMCA, something like that. I'm sure people remember it.
That's great.
Macho, Macho Man. I didn't know it was a bunch of fags. But anyway, it was put out by the Village People.
Yeah.
They were down. They were playing that song, and it said that was the most openly queer music there was, except the group. Village People, the most openly queer, except this group. I never heard of Queens, but We Are the Champions. I've heard of that song. I didn't know it was about queers. Anyway, they had this. Trump had them down there, y'all. And Miss Monica, if you know about this, you can take over and finish this. If you don't, I'll turn it over to Miss Nancy, because I don't want to hog up too much of the airway.
Oh, I only just barely saw something about that, but please go ahead, Nancy.
Well, I was going to
go ahead, Nancy. Finish it up.
I was going to let little Eddie, but I think the thing that really, at first, I said, it would be common that he might have gay friends, that's for sure. But I did not realize the connection to the log cabin Republicans, which is an out-and-out gay advocacy for the Republican Party. It's a particular party that advocates for the gays, and that is apparently the group they had there. That tells it right there. Not that they were just friends. He obviously knows what the log cabin Republicans are all about.
Yes. Matter of fact, 12 senators. I just clicked that on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know what? He's giving a speech. Ex-President Trump, giving a speech telling them how wonderful it is that they passed this wonderful gay rights, gay marriage legislation. And all these sodomites down there are just telling him they just love him so much because he's the most pro-gay president they've had. Probably even more so than Obama. He just loves those queers, man. He just can't get enough of them. But anyway, yeah, this celebration they had down there, they would call it the Spirit of Lincoln. It was a Spirit of Lincoln gala in which in honor of the Log Cabin Republicans, a pro-homosexual activist group formed 45 years ago. They were even active during the sainted Ronald Reagan's day, because they were bringing these, they were, get this, people, the sainted Ronald Reagan when he was in the White House. I'm not saying he knew about it. I don't see how he wouldn't have known about it. But they were bringing these queers into the White House and giving them midnight tours. If you go back, you can research some of the old Washington Times newspapers of, 30, 40 years ago. And they talked about this. And they, get this, these male homosexuals, y'all, were coming into the White House at night, taking White House tours, and they weren't even checked by the Secret Service. They didn't have to go through this incredibly complex security measures, like, going through and getting fondled like you do in the airport now, where they fondle your privates. When you're going through with these metal detectors and things like that, that was happening even under His Highness Ronald Reagan, that great, great conservative. But, we used to have a guy on named Inspector Jim Rothstein, and he broke this down. He talked about this a long time ago. In fact, it would take us 6 hours to talk about Inspector John Rothstein. But, I was just telling Sister Nancy, Sister Monica, that the darling Arizona, what was she run? The GOP gubernatorial candidate for Arizona, Carrie Lake, who she was swarmed by the guests, eager to meet her and take her photo. And here's the thing. He said, here's in quotes, "We were fighting for the gay community. We were fighting and fighting hard," former President Trump said. This is the sainted President Trump. I'll repeat that. Here's what he said. "We were fighting for the gay community, and we're fighting and fighting hard," former President Trump said, "with the help of many people here tonight." Anyway, I'll go ahead and go back to you, Sister Nancy, on that. He was. They credited him for combating the criminalization of homosexuality. even when I was drafted in the Army, you know, it was still against the law to be, they call it buggery. You know, if you were queer, if you were a sodomite, they kicked your tail out. It was considered, even those days, it was considered a horrible disgrace. But it's kind of depressing, y'all. I know I'm rattling on. It's kind of depressing to see where we've come. We've come from where these sodomites were in the closet. You'd hear whispers of them. I wasn't even fully aware of what they did. But they've come full circle, y'all, to where now not only are they glorified and held up as the norm, this is the goal. This is what we're supposed to shoot for. Our children are supposed to become little trans, you know. And I'll round this up real quick. Like, did you see where Joseph Biden, that old pedophile himself, he said that if you are anti-gay, anti-trans, LGBT, if you, he said, here's what you were. He got everything. If you were against any of that, and you were against them coming into your schools and teaching that to your kids, he said, and against these cross-dressing, freak, Satan worshippers coming into school, reading bedtime stories, reading stories to your kids in school, you're a homophobe, you're anti-Semitic, and what else was you? A racist. You're racist, homophobe, anti-Semitic, if you disagree with any of that.
I just want to say one thing about all this and then hand it over to Nancy because we're just about out of time. But I would say the silver lining of this cloud is how blatantly they are pushing this now and onto the children, which this is the extreme. It is so extreme that is actually now the silver lining for us, because it is actually creating a huge revolt and pushback. I mean, we've got parents, angry parents, going to school board meetings, just raising hell. And it is actually, I mean, if they were going slow at first, saying, you know, these poor oppressed people, we should just be accepting of them and tolerant of them, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, a lot of people, myself included, fell for that, thinking, gee, you know, we should just treat people with respect, whatever, live and let live and love and let love. But no way. This is such a blatantly sick agenda now, so strongly pushed on us, that is the silver lining, because people are now really getting disgusted and seeing it for what it is, and they are going after the children. And boy, oh boy, Mama Bear wakes up and you watch out. So that's how I'll end this, and I wish everybody a joyful, peaceful, Merry Christmas. And I want to pass it back to you before we run out of time. Thank you so much for having us on, Eddie.
Thank you. Quickly, another silver lining is these people that are pushing this have come out of the closet. We know who you are, people. We know who you are, Klaus Schwab. We know who you are, King Charles and Antonio Guterres and all you people out there. We know who you are, and we know where to come get you. There's no place in the world you're going to be able to go to get away, because we will have the planes. We're coming to get your tail, and you are going to pay the price. And I'd like to say thank you so much, Sister Desi and Sister Monica. And I'd like to say Merry Christmas to y'all. Merry Christmas to little Liz, who's done a flawless job, and everybody on Liberty News Radio and all of our audience out there. And Sister Nancy, would you like to take us out?
Yeah, I would like to say Merry Christmas to everyone, and I have certainly enjoyed knowing you all and becoming your sister, your older sister, and your not only older, but your meaner sister.
Well, you ain't so
I love
mean.
You, Nancy. From your little sister.
Well, y'all. Well, God bless everybody. God bless you, Tiny Tim, and God bless all of our audience out there, all of our family, and thank you so much, especially for our donors. Well, people, we will be here live on New Year's Eve, the 31st, and Gene Andrews said he's going to come back. The bitter ender himself said he'll be back, and we have no clue what we're going to be doing, but it will be good. I guarantee you. Good night, everybody.